Welcome to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
And we're back with another episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe today to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Pop Culture Cosmos, PCC Multiverse, well, also as well, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and of course, on YouTube, we also have the State of Pro Wrestling. Looking to do another State of Pro Wrestling later this week, so looking forward to that as well. And if you can go ahead and check us out there, or the latest news and trends in pop culture on Pop Culture Cosmos on Facebook, or popculturecosmos.wordpress.com. But it wouldn't be a Pop Culture Cosmos without my good friend, a guy that you need to go ahead and still take a look at what he has to offer at happyhoardercollectibles.com. It is the Happy Hoarder indeed, wishing him and his family truly the merriest of Christmases. It is my good friend. It is Josh Peterson. What's up, man?
What's up? I'm tired, man. Been selling toys in the mall all weekend, and luckily got rid of a lot of old inventory, so that was good. But I'm looking forward to 2024, getting some more stuff in, and I don't know, hopefully the cost of toys goes down.
Would be nice if that would be the case, and I know you're still running a deal. Speaking of deals, people think that, oh yeah, the holidays are just about over, no deals left to go, but you still have one more week to go ahead and get a deal today at happyhoardercollectibles.com, correct?
That's right. You got that 10% off all, until January 1st. So you get to 10% off. Use Happy Holidays 23 at checkout, and that'll get you 10% off your order.
I just want to go ahead and give a big shout out to our good friends at KBOG, KBOG 97.9 FM, Dark Coast Radio. Truly thank Kel and the whole entire team there. They sent us a nice Christmas card, my friend. Truly appreciate their kindness and as far as their generosity to us playing the Pop Culture Cosmos all these years. Cannot thank them enough, but I just wanted to let you know that, my friend, that they have not forgotten about us this time of the year.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, all supporters. We truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. But big shout out to KBOG 97.9 FM. Of course, again, Dark Coast Radio, just truly tremendous. Big shout out again to you, and appreciate all the radio stations, every from Alternative Twist Radio to all the different radio stations around the world that play us right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Let us know. We want to give you a big shout out too. Go ahead and pass the line to us, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. But cannot thank you enough for supporting us, including all the audience members around the world listening to us at the Pop Culture Cosmos. But my friend, it is a great time. It is the time we get to report on a lot of things going on in the entertainment industry. We thought, it's close to the end of the year. Things are going to slow down. No. It is the busiest weekend of the year for movies, with a ton of movies coming out, whether they're trying to get your fancy to get you in there or whether they're trying to impress Oscar voters. Man, just a ton of movies to check out this weekend at the movie theater, my friend.
Yeah, I've been seeing Aquaman's been underperforming, as everybody thought it would.
Yeah, it's pretty much called that. I will tell you right now, they do lead the way, but unfortunately it is severely under what the first movie did. It looks like it's about a 4-day Christmas weekend total of about $40 million, which, as you and I both know, for a film that did over $1 billion the first time around, it's not good, my friend. This tells me, again, people have are very apathetic in regards to the future as far as, well, this movie, because of the fact that the DC Universe doesn't really start up again. It felt like it was like, instead of dead man walking, it was like dead movie walking.
Like a zombie. Yeah, okay, but here's what, here's a big thing, too. They kind of did this to themselves, though. They should not have really released anything in regards to a new DC, film universe until all of the films were done, until they were all out. Because I guarantee you, had they not done that, Shazam would have done better, Aquaman would have done better, Blue Beetle would have done better. Like, if they had not said anything, and I realize that in, you know, this day and time, it's impossible to keep anything serious. Like, look at the Grand Theft Auto trailer leak. Like, that was, you know, case in point. But had no one known that the DC, you know, that there's a brand new, like, reboot of the DCU coming out, Aquaman would probably be killing it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, you know, it's just something that people don't seem to care, because they know that it's not worth their time in watching, because it's not going to lead up to anything. And it's just a shame that it happened. It's just that, you know, they had to leak out these plans, or James Gunn had to announce his plans, saying, you know what, all the stuff that's gone on here in recent years, it's not worth your time, and it's not going to lead up to much, because we're building a whole new universe on top of it.
Right. Yeah. So they basically wasted their own money. I mean, even they could have even not said, like, it was, what was it, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, James Gunn had come out and said that none of that, because they were debating having Ezra Miller and Jason Momoa continue on their roles into his world. And he came out and said that they weren't going to do that. Like, even that, had they
the post-credit scene for The Flash.
Right. Right. So had they not done that, I guarantee you Aquaman would be making more money. You know, it wouldn't be, and, you know, all the care that would have gone into a movie, like, right before they put it out, like, whatever, like, re-edits they needed to do, they probably didn't even bother to do any of that. They just, like, sent a crappy product out to market, because, like, oh, well, we might as well, it's a cheap cash grab. So, but, I mean, look at how much money they're losing on this film.
I will tell you, though, my friend, there's still more to discuss when it comes to the movies this weekend. Wonka is holding nice. Looks to be about $25 million over the 4 days. The thing is, though, it was still about, what, $100, $120 million to go ahead and make. It's about $83 million here domestically. It's going to probably top out maybe as a break-even movie at best at the box office, just because of the fact that the movies these days for that type of production is still a little bit high. Your thoughts on Wonka? It is not doing badly, but it's not doing super great as well.
No, see, I wasn't really sure, like, what to expect from a film like this. My kids went and saw it with their grandma yesterday, and they came back, so it was okay. But if you look at it, like, it's, do films like this really do well in movie theaters these days? Like, we've talked about this before, right? Like, with the franchises, people mostly just go see franchise movies. But then you have Wonka, which is a sequel to a prequel to, you know, books and movie, or the last Wonka film, what, came out 10 plus years ago? So, I mean, is this a movie that people really wanted? And is it going to be something that really, like, drives people? I mean, I see it's done $177 million worldwide, but I feel like it's going to start topping out at about maybe $200 million.
Yeah, about $200, $250, maybe get to $300, but it needs to get to at least $300 for it to earn its money back at the box office. And that's the thing. If it doesn't top out around $350, $400, then it's just going to be a break-even thing at best, or maybe even a slight money loser. We already know Aquaman's going to lose money, because that movie cost over $200 million to make. So, yeah, it just, right now, these movies are coming out left and right that are just underperforming, and it's not the same box office it once was. And you talked about it years ago, during the, you know, just the start of the pandemic, with the rise of the streaming marketplace, and it just, to you, you saw this and foresaw that this was going to happen, as far as the taste for people to go ahead and just change the way they take in movies. And right now, it's become more convenient for us to take in movies at, you know, in our homes on streaming, on 4K televisions and all that. So there's really not the need to go out and check out as many movies as you once did.
Yeah, well, look at it this way, too. Like, when, during COVID, or even, like, right after COVID happened, people, like, movie theaters started opening up and actually encouraging people to come back in. A ticket to the movies was, like, $6. Like, you can go in $6. Snacks were max of, you know, $7 or $8. Like, it was cheap. You know, you can go in at a good price. And now, know, theaters are advertising, hey, come check out our leather chairs. They recline. We can deliver snacks to you, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, ticket prices are once again starting to hit like $15 and snacks are starting to hit like $12 for a drink. So what is at that point, like what is the motivation to come in? It would make more sense for theaters to charge less money and try to sell more tickets as opposed to charging more money and now they're selling less tickets. So yeah. I don't know. I think theaters are just as guilty of ruining themselves as the production studios are, you know, as far as this whole streaming battle is concerned.
To top all of that, my friend, there's more, I guess, disappointment for a lot of theaters out there, as far as a lot of theaters, a lot of studios. Migration, which comes from the Illumination Universal, which, of course, you know from Despicable Me and Minions, and then their latest big hit, the Super Mario Brothers movie. They couldn't repeat the same kind of success with a totally new IP called Migration. That is looking to do about $12 million over the course of 4 days here domestically. And actually, I'm sorry, $17 million over the course of 4 days. That's got to be disappointing because that's not a cheap movie to produce either. This was a brand new IP. This was a gamble, and it looks like it's a gamble that Universal and Illumination ultimately are going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, computer animated films, whatever, it's all hit or miss, right? It's they're either going to do really well or they're just not going to do well at all. Some of them will fly completely under the radar, but I think it's okay for them to have a bad film come out, you know, especially with Super Mario and the talk of a Super Smash Brothers movie coming out, Super Mario 2. Like, I think it, and Minions, it's okay for them to have a bomb in the midst of all these hits.
Whereas, not okay if you're running Universal right now, you're right. Bottom line.
But look at it. Disney has put out bomb after bomb after bomb, sure. And Universal has a lot better chance of putting out something better and recovering that loss than Disney does right now. You know what's crazy? I'm actually looking at the box office stats for this year. Is that they've sold about $9 billion worth of tickets. So, I mean, like pre-COVID 2019, we're at about $11.2 billion. So, I mean, I guess if you look at that, I don't know where these stats are coming from. I don't know if they're counting. What do you call it?
Well, the market's just not the same as 2019, man.
No, I know. But like even going back to like 2008, like it was 9.7 billion. They had a few years of it climbing over 10 billion. But I mean, the box office numbers aren't terrible, but I guess they're just not putting to me. I don't know how you feel, but it just seems like there haven't been like movies that have come out this year that people have really been on fire about.
The event movies, they're not there. The Barbie, mm-hmm. The Barbenheimer experience was the only event movie experience that people needed to go ahead and check out, or Super Mario Brothers, because that was such a great family event as well. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, even Guardians of the Galaxy 3, it still performed well, $800 million plus, but it just didn't do the kind of numbers I think that even a anchor for Marvel needed to do. And then of course we've seen the failures from Marvel pretty much throughout the year, and DC is same as well. So yeah, you're right, my friend. The numbers suggest that, you know, that hopefully that the people will go back to the theaters. I mean, still have hope for several movies coming out next year. We'll talk about that in our prediction show coming up here in a couple of weeks, but it just looks like at this point in time it's going to be something that we're going to have to get used to, where these movies need to go ahead and make themselves a must-see watch in the movie theater. And if they don't, then there's going to be a lot of failures still coming on the way.
I got one more closing thought. Godzilla Minus One has been like getting rave reviews all over the place, but
and
they're
the Boy and the Heron, both those Japanese films,
exactly, but they're only doing limited releases for these movies. So, you know, I'm looking at it like it seems like the American box office has become a country club, though. It's like limited. You have to be, I don't know, there's something going on where they're gatekeeping movies from coming in. Like, you used to be able to go to the movies and find, you know, 4 or 5 indie flicks or horror movies on a given night. But now the only thing in the box office are these big movies, these big franchise or studio films. and they're not letting things that could possibly do well and bolster box office numbers like Godzilla, Boy and the Heron. Like, they're not really letting those things come out or really advertising for them when they could be have a positive impact on it.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. I will tell you, though, right now, it still hurts as far as for the box office, because after that, we talked about Migration being an animated, expensive animated film that's not going to do well at the box office. Also, Anyone But You by Sony, which actually with Sydney Sweeney, you know, coming off her successful start, coming off something that a lot of buzz between her and her co-star. We talked about it on the Friday show. You know, it's kind of interesting stuff going on behind the scenes, you know, possible romance, possible not romance, possible just great chemistry. But unfortunately, my friend, why would you bring out a non-Christmas related rom-com in December? Which just absolutely blew me away. And you know, Melinda said the same thing. It was just, why would you bring out this type of movie now? You should have just pushed it back to February during Valentine's Day weekend when this movie was more fitting, because it's getting roasted at the box office because it has truly become a disappointment where it is not going to make even what it's going to do about $8-9 million in the 4-day weekend for a movie like that. That was actually supposed to be screening well and something that I think the Sony that might have actually gotten more attention as a rom-com, a genre that has essentially died a pretty heavy death here in the theaters. It just comes as another disappointment for Sony.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, like, when was the last like decent Christmas movie released?
Well, I'm just talking about this. This is a non-Christmas related rom-com. That's what's it just seems out of place.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, though. Like, studios don't take chances on Christmas movies anymore, it seems like. So, and I think there a lot of them like are just trying to put out anything that'll bolster there because they're trying to take advantage of that holiday weekend. So I think that's what this was. But yeah, it would have been better saved for like, you know, Valentine's Day, even like an end of January flick would have been fine. But yeah, I don't know, it doesn't really make sense to put something like this out in this weekend unless they're hoping and trying to grab those holiday moviegoers.
And then finally you have, my friend, the Oscar hopefuls such as the Iron Claw, that's going to do about 5 to 6 million over the course of the 4-day weekend. Poor Things, which is a leading Oscar vote getter. Those movies, they're small, like you're saying, as far as concerned, their limited reach, as far as their audience that's going to see it. They are seeing it in enough to support it, but these movies, because they're lower cost, or just basically simply because of the fact that they're not aspiring to reach the same heights as those other movies we talked about, their profit loss margin isn't as great, so their risk is not as great. Their gamble is not as great. And I don't think the Iron Claw is going to get enough love from the... It's a good movie. It's been rated by as far as that's concerned, but not a great movie. So I don't know how much love or how much attention is going to be paid to it outside of those like myself. They're going to go see it. I plan to see it because of the wrestling genre. But Poor Things is the movie I think people need to watch because of the fact that it could be on a lot of best of lists and it could be also on a lot of Oscar short lists here coming up very soon.
Yeah, I don't actually know anything about this one. What's the buzz
Poor
around
Poor Things
it?
With Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo and Willem Dafoe. It's regarding a story. It's by the director who made it, made The Lobster and The Favorite. It's a weird, quirky film. Uh-huh. It's been rated extremely high in regards to Emma Stone's performance and also as well Mark Ruffalo's performance and Willem Dafoe's performance. It's basically about a woman who commits suicide, who has a baby, and or has, you know, still in the womb, but the scientist brings her back to life, but puts the baby's brain in her, as far as bringing Emma Stone back to life with the baby's brain. And you try to see, and you watch her develop, and all this about awakening and developing as far as that's concerned. Mark Ruffalo plays a seedy, despicable guy, a cad per se. He's just a scenery-chewing role, in other words. Like Mark Ruffalo, like you've never seen him before, basically steals her away, and they run off to Paris, and her adventures start from there. So I can't wait to see this movie as well. I heard nothing but great things. Her performance is being talked about as far as one of the two or three best for best actress this year. Mark Ruffalo, same thing for supporting actor. So yeah, definitely something I think people need to go out of their way to see. And if you're into the weird, different indie quirky movies like this, hopefully you'll get a chance to see Poor Things.
Yeah, that actually sounds kind of fascinating. I do remember The Lobster, right? That's the one where he had to find love, or he'd turn into a lobster. Yeah, that was an interesting one. So I might check this one out.
But that is the holiday box office, just to let everyone know, give it everyone an update. It's not quite the, I guess, the venture people are going to check out. There's no movie that really stands out as far as being a hit this box office season. I think the studios, when it comes down to it, when they come back for their Christmas break, are going to be kind of disappointed, because the receipts are not exactly what they wanted to. Josh called it right as far as saying the success of the two Japanese films, The Boy and Heron and Godzilla Minus One, because they both have scored well here, but they've also scored huge overseas, especially in Japan. Those two are probably be to the best performing movies overall as far as from a profit loss ratio. But the other movies that are out there, if you have a movie that you're going to go ahead and check out over the holiday season, please let us know. Maybe even The Holdovers, which is later, pretty much down on the list, but still a movie that's going to be thought of as a best of. Could also Napoleon, Trolls Band Together, Wish. Which movie you're going to go ahead and check out? Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, before the break ends, I wanted to go ahead and ask you your thoughts on this real quick. Did you get it? Well, actually, might go into it for a little bit while longer, but Melinda and I talked about on the show on Friday about Sony's, I guess the word and data came out that Sony will have outsold Xbox this year domestically 3-1 as far as the PlayStation 5 over the Xbox Series S and X. Your thoughts on this, my friend, because I have plenty on the actual, I guess, domination by Sony and PlayStation in regards to their outselling Xbox in the US 3-1, and even more so because the Xbox marketplace has really fallen on hard times in Europe as well.
Yeah.
I got you.
Oh, was I not muted? That was weird.
You were. I unmuted you. I was trying to time it right when you spoke.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. It's like my turn. Trying to tell my kids to be quiet, so I muted myself. Forgot. Anyways. So I do have a few thoughts on this. All right. So
yeah, take your time. We got a lot of time, man.
Okay. All right. Good. We're gonna need some. PS5. The console sales are weird, because it's really hard to tell anything. How many of those sales were, but this is both for Xbox and PlayStation. How many of those sales were bots? How many of those console sales were bots in the beginning, right? Because people are scalping them, so they're setting these bots to buy like hundreds and hundreds of these units. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of them are still sitting in people's closets. But so how are you truly able to accurately find a count on how many consoles you sold with how weird the release was? And I'm not saying that Xbox sold more. I'm under no delusion that happened, but how are you able to accurately track the number of consoles sold legitimately, in comparison to what other companies are doing?
That's tough to say, my friend. I mean, I'm thinking this is more of a legit year. I think the bots issue is less, because PlayStation 5s are more available than they have
been. Sorry, I misunderstood. Is it just in general, or was it just
this
year?
Just this year, 2023. Gotcha. So 2023, okay. It is purported data sales that PlayStation has outsold Xbox Series S and X 3-1. And then also as well, the marketplace in Europe has been dominated now this year by PlayStation. So your thoughts my friend?
It kind of makes sense. It really does. Because you look at it like Xbox is doing a great job of supporting things on every other platform except the new console, right? Like we look at they're still supporting Xbox One. Like a high majority of the games that are coming out are available to play on Xbox One, that, you know, their Games Pass, they're available to play on PC. So how many people out there are truly being, oh yeah, I should go buy an Xbox Series X to play games when they're not even creating anything right now? There's two or three titles that are Series X only, but most of them are still being produced on all consoles, whereas Sony is finally taking that step and moving into the next generation completely and making things exclusively to the PS5. So now there's motivation to go out and buy those consoles, whereas with Xbox, there's not really a lot of motivation to do that.
I think it's just been an issue where Xbox just had such a bad start to the year. Despite Hi-Fi Rush, they just didn't really have anything to offer. And then Redfall was absolutely a miserable outing. You know, that's inexcusable. It's such a high-profile release, just fell flat for them. But also as well, you know, during that time, PlayStation just kept chugging along. It has the first-party software, you know, that's come out this generation to support what people are interested in. And it didn't come until Starfield where people, Xbox does have something. I really am faulting the fact later in the year, though, when it came to Xbox, like I told you, about earlier this month, or was it late last month when I purchased right after Black Friday, not only was the price reduced for Black Friday on the Xbox Series S and X, but they reduced it again. But you didn't advertise it to anyone. You didn't tell anybody that you had the Xbox Series X at $150 off. That's an amazing price, $350, for the most powerful of the consoles, because the Xbox Series X is more powerful than the PlayStation 5. But you don't tell anybody about this. The Series S, one of the best values in gaming. You don't tell anybody about this, that you've reduced it to $249 or below. You don't tell anybody this here in the States. You don't advertise it. All I see is $499 ads for the Super Spider-Man bundle. Spider-Man 2 bundle on the PlayStation 5. All I see are ads for that. But you don't tell anybody it's going to be that as far as that's concerned. You don't tell anybody that it's on sale.
No, you don't. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It's just a shame that you don't advertise it, because people would be interested.
It's almost like they didn't want people to know, right? They were like a move out of desperation. Cut the cost of this console, but we don't want to sell a lot of them, so we're not going to tell a lot of people.
What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
And also, you know, a big factor is, look at like when the Series X was originally announced, right? And they're showing us like this, we have this studio and this studio, and they're working on this game and this game. How many of those games have actually been released? Like one or two that I can think of off the top of my head? So I think people are looking at it too. They're like, well, Microsoft still hasn't laid out any solid release dates for everything. So if I'm going to buy a next generation console, I'm going to go to Sony, because at least they have, you know, a lot of release dates announced, you know, and I know when I'm going to buy something, I know when I'm going to be able to use it for the stuff that I want to use it for. Whereas Microsoft, you're going out, say you're buying a Xbox for, you know, the next Gears or Halo, or even, you know, Hellblade, right? They haven't even announced a release date for that. But
no, it just said 2024.
Right. So you're like, I want to play the new Hellblade, so I'm going to go out and buy one. When are you going to be able to play it? I don't know. It's possible it might not even come out till they might push it to 2025. Whereas, You can go like, but I do want to play the new Final Fantasy game, and Sony's already announced a release date of February for that. And you know, we got Death Stranding 2's coming out next end of 2024 or 2025, yeah, somewhere in there. So I know what to expect. Whereas like Microsoft,
or OD, that when that's coming out, as far as that special project, you know, from Kojima with Xbox on that, we have no idea. That was just introduced as a tech demo. Yeah, it there, you know, the new Fable, like you talked about. So yeah, just so many projects along the way, but when literally are they coming out?
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. So why are you going to go spend money on a console that you, and you don't know when you're going to be able to utilize it for the things you want to use it for? I mean, it's great if you want to go play stuff backwards compatible, like you want to go, I want to go play old 360 games and I just want to have a nice console to do it on. Sure. But how many people are going to go throw down that much money for that? Like if they, it's all about like when, you know, look at when the PlayStation 2 came out. PlayStation 2 was amazing, right? Because that came out, they had so many games, but every time they talked about stuff, like you're able to expect it within the year. You know, Sony was notorious for a while for announcing things that probably never even came out, but still, there's a lot of, that's the big difference between the two companies right now, is you know what to expect from Sony and when to expect it. With Microsoft, you don't know anything. It's literally nothing. Like they've become they're doing what Sony used to do, and I think that is a massive detriment to their console sales.
Once again, it is the Pop Culture Cosmos. It is Josh Peterson and me, Terrell Glasser. Thanks so much for watching this thing. We're talking about some final thoughts when we hear the data in regards to Xbox getting outsold 3-1 over by PlayStation here in the States. And I'm sure it's just as big, if not larger, from what we hear in Europe and overseas. And that's, to me, is the problem. Xbox, you know, they had the legal battle for the Activision brand, and I get that. And that's going to, you know, I think provide them benefits if they make sure they are smart and make it a more of an exclusive. I understand they can't touch the Call of Duty, you know, brand, the latest Call of Duty releases. I understand that they can't make it exclusive until 2027 there. But what if they put the rest of the Call of Duty library on Xbox Games Pass? The thing is, they don't even push Xbox Games Pass. They always talk about, well, we're all about Xbox Games Pass and the subscriptions. I don't see enough advertisements for it. Xbox Games Pass, if you want to go ahead and push it, that's what you need to go ahead and demonstrate that as well. But yeah, the fact is you have the best deal in gaming as far as at a lower price, at a higher price as far as the Xbox Series S and X, and a better value with Xbox Games Pass. But nobody knows about it as far as the general consumer are concerned.
Yeah, and you know, it's another crazy thing too. It's like I used to bag on Sony for like how expensive their PlayStation Plus program was. I think I'm paying like $20 a month for it or something. But Games Pass, the cost has gone up so high on Games Pass. It's $18.31, so I'm technically paying a little over a dollar less than what it would cost to have the Sony PlayStation Plus membership. Like, there's a lot of things that are not, I don't know, that just aren't working in Xbox's favor right now.
But Xbox Games Pass does give you a substantial amount of more games, recent games, day one releases, of course, when they come out, of course. And that's something that is substantially better than the PlayStation Plus offering at this point in time.
Yeah, I agree. But how many of those things are worth playing over and over again? Like, how many people want to go back and play those games after they finish them? So what's like what's the lifespan of these games, is that worth it? Whereas like with PlayStation Plus, you can go back now and start playing. They have stuff on there from the PlayStation 1 days, so it's I don't know. I mean, they're both subscriptions have their positive things, but you know, looking at Xbox, like I don't know. I go through the Sony offerings, and there's a lot of things that I want to play, and I go through the Xbox offerings, and there's a lot of things where, like, you know, that's been on there for a while, and I'm still not really interested in playing it. And I don't know. But Xbox needs to make some big moves here in 2024, or else like they could go the way of Sega.
Let's hope that's not the case, because it needs to be a viable marketplace. It cannot just be Nintendo and Sony. Xbox, you know, you don't spend that kind of money though, Josh, especially, you know, with the countless billions of dollars that they spent ultimately on legal, not to mention the actual acquisition price for fighting PlayStation on the acquisition of Activision. And
but even look at that, though, like, when are they going to do something with Activision? Like, we still don't know. Like, they've talked about stuff, but there's been no, like, put out a new Warcraft, put out a new Guitar Hero. There's been no official confirmation of really anything outside of the fact, like, oh, we own Call of Duty now. Like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what we need. 20 more of those games.
Well, I think that's probably the fault of Bobby Kotick, who is stepping down here in just a few days as we report on this as the head of Activision, because they've been so reliant. He's made them so reliant on one IP property. I think that's that, you know, now that it's in the hands of Xbox, Xbox wants to diversify it more with many more existing IPs that they have that they have just are not getting used. So we see with Fortnite, they created a music festival program that they want to get, you know, installed or, you know, just get used with Rock Band. So once they get that fixed out and Rock Band, all those Rock Band toys, all those Rock Band guitars and drum sets that you have maybe stored in the closet, you can bring them back out again. That brings this genre back to life. Just imagine if we brought a new Guitar Hero back to life.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, just any one of these properties that they have that they've just let go by the wayside in order to solely focus on Call of Duty. I think Phil Spencer is going to go ahead and, you know, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of Phil. I'm a fan of Phil's, but I'm not the biggest fan of Phil's because I can't agree with some of the things he's done, like not being able to push or advertise his pricing for both Xbox Games Pass and the Series S and X. I'm not a fan of that, but one thing I will say is that he is respective of the gamer, and he will go ahead and use some of these properties and use it more fully, you know, but that's going to take time. That's going to take 2, 3, 4 years down the line before we see the true benefits of the Activision purchase.
Yeah, and I like Phil well enough because like I've said before, he does look out for the fans. He cares about the fans. When I can't say the same about Sony, but they need to do something quick though. Like, I'm not saying rush these games out to market, but like, it's been how many years since the release of the Series X now? It's been like what, three years?
They're both going. They're both 3 years.
Yeah, you need. I mean, we're already at approaching halfway through this console's life cycle, because it's usually every 7 years they put something new out. So you need to put stuff out though. Like, don't make people look back on this as a waste of time for them. Because look at it, the 360 already has a terrible reputation because of the red rings, right? Like all that stuff. So don't sit on these properties any longer. Like, if you're, and I'm not saying rush, there's a fine balance, don't rush things out, but like, do something, you know? Like, it's like that meme with the thing poking something with a stick, like, come on, do something. They need to do something.
They do need to do something, and I'm hoping that they will. It's just, again, when it comes right down to it, the marketplace is healthiest when you have three viable contenders that people are interested in and really want to go ahead and get. And it's just a shame that Xbox had this opportunity, had this window, this holiday season to really gain a better foothold in the marketplace by simply advertising and pushing out there the reduced prices for both the S and the X. And they just didn't get it done. You had to find this out through news articles or, you know, maybe you see some sale articles from the actual retailers themselves, but most people out there won't even know that they could have saved $150 on an Xbox Series X this holiday season, my friend.
You know how I found out about a lot of these sales? I'd be walking by stores and I just see just random tiny pieces of printer paper taped to the windows outside the stores saying, hey, $150 off or whatever it was. And literally nothing. Like, it wasn't even most of them weren't even advertised in the weekly ads. So yeah, it is pretty crazy.
What are your thoughts out there on the current marketplace for video games? Is it going to be something that you're going to continue to look into? Do you think PlayStation and Nintendo? Nintendo's coming out with a Switch 2 or Switch Pro or whatever it is they're going to come out with that's going to revitalize their standing in the marketplace. And of course, the PlayStation 5 is just going to continue to move on and move on as with brisk sales. Can Xbox find their way and into this mix once again at a level which they seem to be getting into with the Xbox 360 at the end tail end of that, then also as well Xbox One to an extent? Let's find out your thoughts when you get a chance. Please let us know. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, before we head on out and before we talk about Christmas movies, because you know we love to talk about Christmas movies, one thing that's coming up that you might have missed, my friend, is that on the 1st of this year, you know, every year, you know, it's for obvious for New Year's and whatnot. But the one thing that people look at as far as what enters the public domain. And one of the things, this will be one of the years, one of the biggest years, the most important years as far as the public domain is concerned, my friend, because a certain mouse, representative of Disney and the Disney Corporation, will be heading into the public domain. The earliest versions of Mickey Mouse, aka when he first appeared in Steamboat Willie, will become part of the public domain on January 1st. Your thoughts on that, my friend, as Mickey Mouse enters the public domain, at least the original versions of it.
I'm just thinking Mickey Mouse Blood and Honey. How does that sound?
Because we have seen that. Winnie the Pooh, you know, that came out to public domain and you saw what they did with that. What are you thinking is going to go on as far as the earliest versions of Mickey Mouse as far as in the public domain?
Honestly, I think it's pretty safe. I think we'll see a lot of documentaries coming out where they'll be using that character and kind of talking about things. So they have the ability to do that now, but I don't foresee anything, you know, anything terrible, because even though it is going to public domain, I think people are still too scared of that Disney money and what their team of lawyers might be able to do to them. So I don't think we're going to see anything like, you know, Mickey Mouse Blood and Honey or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I definitely can see a few definitely some big documentaries coming out and maybe people trying to recreate some of those old cartoons or video games even. But Disney's a scary entity, you know, especially if you're unsure of what they might do. It'd probably be a good idea not to do it.
I will tell you, though, it is going to be something very interesting to see where this leads to, my friend, because, you know, people are going to start to really think, oh, I can go ahead and create Mickey Mouse, you know, and do anything I want with it. But remember, it's on the oldest Steamboat Willie version, my friend. If they start going ahead and doing the, 1950, 1970, 1980, 2000 Mickey Mouse and try to emulate whatever they're doing or utilize that, then that's going to be a problem for them. And that's going to be something where Disney's going to say, you know what, let's get our legal team out once again, my friend. I got you.
Yeah, I know. That's good looking out. Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's the thing. Like, Disney's terrifying, man. Like, even if I were like, oh, yeah, it'd be cool to, you know, make a character that even looks like Oswald, like, I would still be scared to do, or not Oswald, sorry, Steamboat Willie. Like, I would be scared to do it still.
Yeah, you know, I hear you.
I don't have the money to. So I think there needs to be a clear, and I think Disney knows that too, so I don't think they're too worried about it. But also, though, like, what does that mean for Disney? Because they have a lot, especially at like Disneyland, they have a lot of like museum type structures that have a lot of the Steamboat Willie stuff playing in it. So, you know, what is that going to do to them? You know, especially if you have like YouTubers filming stuff in these places and putting it up online, like, how are they going to react to that?
Exactly. You know, the Disney legal team has been fighting a lot of battles in recent years. So I think they're preparing themselves. If we know Disney, they're preparing themselves with their legal team, and they got them ready and poised to go ahead and seek out the ones that seem to draw or go over the line, and the ones that are able to go ahead and utilize the public domain smartly. They're going to have to let that go, even though they tried hard to fight against the public domain of offering for Mickey Mouse here on the 1st. But unfortunately, the time has run out. So Mickey Mouse will become part of the public domain as far as the oldest versions of it in Steamboat Willie. Any last thoughts on this, my friend, before we head on out, before we head on to the Christmas part of the show coming up here in just a couple seconds?
You know, I got nothing. Disney is such like a, what's the nice way to say this? They're just like, right now they are just a dumpster fire, you know? So like, I don't know. When was the last, like the golden age of Disney? Like, it's come and it's gone, and they're trying to put out all these fires and just nothing good is happening there. So Disney is not really something that I keep on my radar anymore, because I don't really care anymore. Does that, if that makes sense?
No, I mean, you're like a lot of people out there. They're just not what they used to be, but at this point in time, they're still the behemoth as far as in the theme park world. Disney Plus is still about 150 million subscribers. They did come out with Marvel's What If on the Disney Plus channel. I've watched the first couple episodes. It's been pretty good so far, but releasing it over the course, 9 episodes over the course of 9 days, sounds like they're just throwing it into the wind and there you go, which is just, you know, that's a bigger statement on the Marvel brand at this point in time than anything. I also think that the Percy Jackson series is surprisingly doing well as far as the feedback. A lot of people are very high on this, which is good because they've needed a non-Marvel and Star Wars series hit that's not named Bluey for quite some time now. So hopefully they will go ahead and continue this test success with Percy Jackson. But yeah, Disney, their problems are bigger than just whether or not they're worried about or should be worried about Mickey Mouse entering the public domain at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So hopefully the future will be better. We're all hopeful for that, but not the product it used to be.
What are your thoughts out there on Mickey Mouse entering the public domain? At least the older version of it, the Steamboat Willie, the original version of Mickey Mouse enters the public domain on January 1st. Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. If you're in the Las Vegas and Henderson areas and are looking to buy, sell, or trade the best in classic or current video games and pop culture collectibles, there's no better place to go than Retro City Games. From Xbox to PlayStation, Nintendo to Atari, the great crew at Retro City Games provides the best place to go for all your gaming options. Stop by their two awesome locations in Henderson and also the Las Vegas Strip, or follow Retro City Games on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest deals and new items. Without a doubt, there's no better place to go for your gaming needs than your friends at Retro City Games. Christmas time here for the Pop Culture Cosmos. You know, it's always a great time. I had a debate back and forth with one of our youngest followers, Cool Bro, the other day. He said he couldn't be here watching today because of the fact that he's going to catch it later because he's doing Christmas things for the family. So stay safe, my friend, on this holiday season. But he is like some others out there that continuously fight on what are some of our famous or favorite Christmas movies are, because you know, my friend, the best Christmas movie ever is Die Hard. So we always argue about this every year as far as that's concerned. You and I agree on it, but there's always arguments. There's always someone out there that says, oh, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. I don't think that's correct. And in recent days, there was a CNN interview in regards to a film historian who's made a book on Christmas movies, who absolutely gave definitive proof, bullet point by bullet point by bullet point, why Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So your thoughts, my friend, can we just put it to rest once and for all that Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
I do think Die Hard is a Christmas movie because it happens on Christmas. The backdrop is Christmas. You always
his wife's name is Holly, for God's sakes.
His wife's name is Holly. You always hear these arguments, though. Like, is a Christmas movie something that takes place on Christmas, where like Christmas is the backdrop, or is a Christmas movie something, a movie that is about Christmas? Because if it was about Christmas, I don't think Home Alone would be considered a Christmas movie either, because Home Alone's not really about Christmas. It's about a kid who's left alone on Christmas, right?
But so I consider it a Christmas movie.
Oh, absolutely. I consider it a Christmas movie too. So I think that people, you know, this has become much like, does pineapple belong on pizza? It's all just some matter of personal preference. Where you look at too, like I've been chatting with people because I had these giant movie poster pops where it's like a movie poster and it had, you know, three of the main characters in Funko Pop form. I had two of them for Harry Potter that I sold throughout the course of the weekend. And, you know, people were asking me, like, do I think Harry Potter is a Christmas movie? And I think that might be pushing it a little bit, because all the Harry Potter movies, since they take place over the course of the year, they have scenes that are specifically relating to Christmas.
Talk about, right? The Goblet of Fire, correct?
Well,
or
all
the Sorcerer's Stone.
Pretty much all of them have some sort of like Christmas tree or like.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Something like that. So, I mean, I don't know if I consider Harry Potter a Christmas movie, but it does reference Christmas. Anyways, here's my essential list of Christmas movies, right? We have Christmas Vacation hits number one, and then Die Hard, and then Love Actually, and what was the other one?
Scrooged, Elf.
Four Christmases. I love Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn. Mm-hmm. And then, what was the other one? Oh, A Christmas with the Cranks. Those are my five favorites. Okay. Every year, those are the ones that I have to watch. And I would consider each of those to be Christmas movies. Home Alone's a close runner-up, but those are the five that I want to watch every year.
Okay. It starts with Die Hard, of course. I've been so, you know, getting into it with Kubro, but also as well on the Lakers fast break, you know, our audience is just very supportive of Die Hard as a Christmas movie. It's like a 3-1 margin, 4-1 margin. So obviously it's very much beloved, but also as well, if, you know, Elf, you know, Will Ferrell's performance in Elf has catapulted this movie to a movie that will continuously be loved. Alan says Die Hard. Yes, mm-hmm. Alan. There's no doubt that it's a Christmas movie. It's the best Christmas movie, in my opinion. Christmas Vacation is good, too. I've always enjoyed that one. And then Scrooged. Scrooged is something with Bill Murray. I don't think it has aged as well. People kind of started to forget about Scrooged, but
I've
it's still,
seen
I think,
it
for
before.
Me.
I've never seen Scrooged. Like, I've always
never
been
seen Scrooged.
Scrooge
before.
Never
wow.
seen it. Never seen it. I've always wanted to watch it, but I just, every Christmas comes and goes, and I completely forget about it. So
you should. Bill Murray is really good in it.
Give me a rundown on the story real quick. I mean, if you had to summarize.
Well, I don't know if he's an ad. I forget if he's an ad executive or a guy who makes commercials and things of that nature. And he plays the Scrooge. So
it's like a Christmas story.
Yeah, he's a TV guy. Okay. He's a guy in TV and it, you know, trying to get a production made. And in the process of doing it, he experiences the three ghosts. And the three ghosts are very, you know, entertaining. I think Carol Kane, if I remember, plays one. And yeah, it's really a good time. And the way they treat him, the comedy involved, I still think it's a good movie, but I don't think it has aged as well as I think it will continue to do so. It's kind of starting to get forgotten a little bit, but Scrooge is something I think is one of Bill Murray's best performances because it plays his snarky, jerkism, because he's pretty much a jerk throughout it until the end. And that's what he does in most, because we talk about Ryan Reynolds and his shtick. We talk about Jack Nicholson, you know, where the roles are played to cater to him. Most roles are catered to Bill Murray's snarkism, and it doesn't always work, but this one works. Scrooge is one of his best performances because it takes his ability to go ahead and just be the way he is and put it out there on screen. And then again, Josh, you still there?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. No, I thought you were going to comment on Alan's.
The holdovers. Yeah, the holdovers is being considered, especially with Paul Giamatti, Alan, as a leading Oscar front runner for best actor, and the holdovers as well. Definitely is something if you need to take a look at it. It's going to be a pretty good movie. It's not doing super well at the box office, but yeah, it's going to be something that's going to be thought of in the Oscar shortlist. Go ahead, my friend. I'm sorry. Alexander Payne is the director of it. He is actually, I don't know if he won, but I know he got nominated for Best Director sometime back with Paul Giamatti before.
Okay, so let me ask you a question now. Where do you stand on A Christmas Story? What are your thoughts?
I've seen it twice. It wasn't good for me. It wasn't as good for me the second time around. First time around, it was amusing and it's charming. I think that it's well, I would rather see that on a 24-hour loop than Jimmy Stewart's classic Christmas movie. Just my estimation on that. But yeah, Christmas Story is something that, you know, it's good and you can put your eye out with it. But I think that it's just, you know, I don't know. It just seems to me like it's something that it's a good movie, but you can go in. It's like comfort food.
Yeah,
it's not my favorite, but it's something I could definitely deal with.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's a Wonderful Life is something I've seen it once, and I think I'm done with it for the rest of my life. It's a Wonderful Life. If I don't have to see you, It's a Wonderful Life anymore.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life that was always like one of my favorites, but I don't know if it was because of the sentimentality I attached to it, because I'd always watch it with my grandma on Thanksgiving, or if it's because I truly liked it. So,
yeah, I can understand that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So those are the memories you attach to it, I guess. But my wife, It's a year, not something that I go back to over and over. What was I talking about? A Christmas Story. It's funny. Christmas Story is funny because, you know, that closing gag that they did with like the Chinese restaurant, you could never in a million years in modern times be able to make something like that.
Agreed.
But I had a student of mine come up and ask me last year, they're like, so I watched A Christmas Story for the first time. I was like, oh, okay, what'd you think of it? He goes, was the entire movie just a build-up for that one racist joke in the end? And I sat there thinking, I'm like, yeah, I guess kind of, right? Like, none of the rest of the movie really needed to happen. Like, they were just trying to build it up for that one payoff. Anyways, yeah, it's not really one that, like, everyone says it's like the quintessential Christmas classic. I don't think it's that great, you know. And I watched the Christmas Story Christmas or whatever the sequel was, and you know, while it had funny moments, it's just not, I didn't sit there thinking to myself like, man, I really love to go back to this world. I just like, I think that that's kind of one of those really highly overrated Christmas films.
Yeah, it's just like you see it once and you're good, pretty much is what it comes down to. I think that's probably it. For us, repeated viewing is Die Hard, Christmas Vacation, Elf. Josh mentioned a few others. Love Actually. He's got his list. I've got my list. What is your list of Christmas movies? Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, I wanted to go ahead and wish you and the family the truly a Merry Christmas indeed. Want to go ahead and mention that to everyone out there. We wish you a happy holidays and a truly Merry Christmas. But before I give you the traditional any last thoughts before we head on out, did you actually get the Final Fantasy action figure from Espirit that you were hoping for this Christmas?
Okay, so it's really ambiguous right now, okay?
This, you know, as far as a countdown, almost like a hostage situation on Facebook. Just want to let you know.
Yeah, it's very ambiguous because I kept saying this morning, like, so we're in agreement, I'm keeping this figure, right? And she didn't say yes and she didn't say no. She's been adamant that I don't for a long time, but I was like, this is going to be my payment for working so hard over the holiday season. So I think she's just going to wake up one morning and find it in my glass case in the living room. And that's just going to be the end of it. I'm not going to mention it. We're not going to talk about it. It's just going to happen. And that'll just be the end of it. But I'll take a photo. I'll let you go. I'll keep everybody updated on the saga of the Final Fantasy figure. Okay.
Okay. Absolutely. Because it's about $150 retail, just to let everybody know. That's why this is in question. So will the missus allow Josh to go ahead and keep the Final Fantasy action figure? Please stay tuned to us here at the Pop Culture Cosmos and have a truly Merry Christmas indeed.
Yeah, and all inquiries about making that story into a Christmas movie, just send to Gerald over here at PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. All right, he's the official agent in this situation.
Sounds good indeed. Don't forget HappyHoarderCollectibles.com. You still have time to get 10% off using the code HappyHolidays23 right there for you. HappyHoarderCollectibles.com. So for Josh Peterson, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the Pop Culture Cosmos. We thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a Merry Christmas and a great day.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!